We are continuing our series on encountering God. And so last week we talked about how God redeems us. And we were talking about the Passover. And so this week we're going to move a little bit further into the Exodus story. So they've already gone through the Red Sea and they're at this moment in the wilderness. And it's an amazing story, and every time I read it, I can't believe it when I read it. But we'll get into it. So we're going to be in Exodus 16, starting at verse 1. So if you want to get in your Bibles, you can go there. Exodus 16, starting at verse 1. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin, between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There, too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they needed for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food and they will prepare it. There will be twice as much as usual." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "By evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with open hearts and open minds and ask that your spirit would be upon us today. That as we go through your word and discover what it is that you want to say to us today, and that whatever it is that your spirit wants to press upon us today, Lord, I pray that we are open to your guiding, that we're open to your instruction, and that we are open to your leading. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that I will mess up today, that you will clean it up in the ears of the people. Help us to focus our time together today around you and you alone. That is our sole focus today, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I got to turn my pack off real quick. I got to cough. There we go. Sorry about that. So I want to tell you about a time that I was in the wilderness. Now, it wasn't like the Israel's wilderness, but I was in the wilderness at once. Do that. We have that picture up there. Can we bring that up? There we go. So this was my last trip in the wilderness. This is in West Virginia. It's called Dolly Sod's Wilderness. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But I had this moment in the wilderness. I was backpacking. I was by myself. So I was solo backpacking, and I had this moment where I thought I was getting to a point on the trail where there was water. I thought the water was there. Guess what? There was no water there. I was expecting that at this moment, this is when I was going to fill up my water bottle, and I didn't. And so I was running low on water. And so I had this moment, right? Like this moment of in the wilderness by myself, no cell phone, like nothing. I can't talk to anybody, nothing. Do I have enough? Because I know there's water coming up. Like when I get to camp, there's going to be water, but that was still a few hours away. Do I have enough? And so in those moments where we don't know if we have enough, what starts to creep in? Well, fear starts to creep in. We start to have this uneasiness about us where we say, I just don't know what I'm going to do if I don't find water. Now, granted, this was not like the Israelites, okay? And I knew I was coming to water. And I still had water left, right? But what I'm trying to get to is that there's always this moment of fear when we're uncertain about what's going to happen next. And that's what we have with the Israelites. They have this grand moment where where God says, I'm going to pass over everything. I'm going to get you out of the land of Egypt. And we didn't go through the story, but he parts the Red Sea and they walk through the Red Sea out of Egypt. And then the Red Sea crashes on the Egyptians and they are free people. But where does he lead them to? Into the wilderness. But God, I thought you said you were going to take us to the promised land. That's what you told us. We were going to go to the promised land. We were going to be free in the promised land. And God leads them into the wilderness of sin. Now, it's not like sin like we think of today. It's just a play on Sinai. So it's not like you're thinking like wild and crazy stuff is happening in the wilderness. But God leads them into the wilderness. And so we have this moment for the Israelites where there's this fear of uncertainty starting to come across the camp, where they're looking around and saying, what did we sign up for? And so I just want to acknowledge today, like me, like backpacking and the fear of water is like nothing what the Israelites are doing. But also, like the fear and uncertainty that comes with motherhood is there as well. Now, I don't know this personally, all right? I ask people, okay? So it's not like, I know what motherhood's all about. No, I ask some people, okay? But there's this moment, right, when in motherhood where they can start to feel isolated, where they can start to feel like they're all by themselves. You know, us as men, we're providers and we're doers, and we go out into the world. And I often think I'm out doing something, whether it's football officiating or working or doing something else. While I'm out doing that, my wife is at home with the kids. So there is this sense of isolation that can come from motherhood. There's this sense of fear of what's going to happen with my kids. Are they going to be all right? This is how women's brains work. Men, we don't work like that. We are one track mind. That's it. I think you hit us perfect, Evan. One track mind. Mothers have all these things going through their head at once. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention that, you know, Mother's Day can be a struggle for a lot of women. Maybe there was a moment in their life where they lost a child. Or maybe they never had children and they have to come to church and hear the pastor talk about Mother's Day. So I don't want to gloss over that point as we start. Like there is some pain and struggle that can happen on Mother's Day. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Let's jump into this. Because This is really, it's kind of crazy to think about the Israelites and where they're at right now and what they're doing, right? Like God just brought them out of Egypt and freed them, and then they start complaining. So let's look at this. Exodus 16:2 says this, "There too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron." Verse 3, "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death." Our first point is this: wilderness seasons shape us. Wilderness seasons shape us. Verse 3, "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and bread." And so the Israelites are having this moment of uncertainty. Fear is starting to creep into them. They're walking through the wilderness. This is 1 month after the Passover. So they had spent a whole month in the wilderness, and they're starting to look around and saying, what is going on? What are we doing? Where is the food? Where is the water? Why is God not providing for us? And they start to have this thought, like, do you remember when we were in bondage and slavery back in Egypt? At least we had food then. At least we had water. Like, all of our needs were taken care of, even though we were in bondage and slavery. And so what we have in this picture is the Israelites are starting to look back fondly on their sin and their bondage and their slavery. And they're starting to say, you know what? I kind of like that. Now, it wasn't the greatest, right? But at least we had food. At least we had water. And isn't it interesting that when we begin to walk into this new life of Christ, so we give our life to Christ, and we have this moment, this wilderness moment in our lives, and we start to look back and say, you know what? It wasn't so bad before Christ. It was actually a lot more fun. All my needs were taken care of. Now I'm in this wilderness moment in my life. I'm going through this pain. I'm going through this struggle. And everyone's saying, just God will take care of it. But I feel alone. I feel isolated. Where is God in all of this? Right? When we go through that pain and that struggle, that's often what we ask is, where is God? And that's exactly where the Israelites are at right now. They're walking through the wilderness and they're saying, where is God? He promised to take us to the promised land. He said everything would be taken care of. I was going to free you. But now we're walking around in this desert, this wilderness. We can't even find food or water. Where is God? Look at the second part of verse 3. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. So when I talk about like a wilderness season in our lives, this is like the pain, the struggle, the loss, feeling like you're disconnected from Christ. Like, you know, those are like wilderness seasons that we come through. And I'm going to tell you a story, and this is not like a story like, oh, Pastor Dylan, I feel so sorry for you. Like, this is not like that kind of story, okay? Could you promise me you won't like do that? One person, okay, that's good. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you, like, from January till now, it has not been an easy season for me and my family. Like, it's been rough. We've been moving since January. We moved states. We left everything we knew behind in Ohio. Go Bucks. And we came up here. Oh, did that come out? I'm sorry. It just, like, naturally comes out. See, I'm setting it up so no one feels bad. But it's been a hard season on my family. Like we're transitioning to a new state, to a new church, to a new position. Like all this is going on. I'm still moving into my house. Like we might be there, but I'm still moving. I think I did 3 gazillion steps yesterday, going from the pole barn to my house, back to the pole barn to my house, back to like. And again, don't feel sorry for me. But it's one of those seasons where it could very easily for me and my family be a wilderness season of like, I just feel so disconnected from God because of everything else that's going on. And saying like, God, you called me to this. You said I'm supposed to be the pastor at Dighton Wesleyan Church, but Lord, where are you? You said this was the promise, but I feel isolated. I feel disconnected. Like, those are all things that could have happened. But I didn't question God in the moment. I didn't question God in that wilderness season. And just a little, like, practical side note for you. Like, one of the best things you can do, like, during those seasons of isolation and feeling like you're lost in the wilderness without God is to journal. Now, I've been skeptical of journal in the past, but during this season, specifically of transitioning here, what I did was I started journaling. And I just started writing out everything to God. God, this is how I'm feeling. This is where I'm frustrated. This is what's going on. And even in some of the writings, it'll say, God, where are you? You promised this. He loves to hear when we are struggling, when we are far from Him, when we feel disconnected from Him. Like, God loves to hear that. And so, are we taking those things to Him? Because the Israelites here are beginning to have that moment where they're saying, our life before was so much better. And God is reminding them that no, it wasn't better, because now you are free. And that's one of the things that we often have to talk to new Christians about, is like, when you give your life to Christ, it doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory. Is that still a saying? Yeah? Okay. I might have dated myself a little bit there, so. But not everything is going to be good as soon as we give our life to Christ. Our life is changed. Our life is new. We have a new life. But it doesn't mean that those wilderness seasons won't come to us. And so how are we getting out of those wilderness seasons? It's nothing that we're doing to get out of it. Are we taking everything to God and saying, this is what's going on? Read a little bit further. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they needed for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food. When they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening, you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Our next point is this. The lesson of manna is not about abundance, it's obedience. The lesson of manna is not abundance, it is obedience. Now, there's definitely a Genesis theme to this section. Like, you can see it in the way that they're wording, and there was morning and there was evening, and there's this food and this abundance. And now, I didn't find this in any commentary anywhere, but this is kind of just my thought. So take it for whatever it's worth. But when they were in the garden, Adam and Eve, they had everything they wanted. I mean, abundance was everywhere. God said, you can have anything you want here, anything, except for this. You can't have this. Now, we know ultimately they took the one thing that they could not have. So in my mind, what I see here is God testing the people and saying, okay, maybe abundance wasn't good. You know, maybe I shouldn't give them abundance. Maybe what I'm going to give them is just what they need for the day. So I think that's the big lesson from manna, is that God is sending just enough for the day. Now, it was hard for them because, you know, they had been in slavery and bondage, and now God was raining down all this food, and what would be their first instinct? I'm gonna gather as much as I can and hold on to it because we're in the desert. Like, I want to keep all the food I can. And God said, no, I'm going to give you just enough for the day. And he's not like overt about it. He's not like trying to hide it. He says, I will test them. He's not trying to hide it. He's testing the people. Can they follow this simple law of just getting enough food? Looking ahead at Mount Sinai, are they going to be able to follow the other laws as well? Like, that's in the foreground right there. Are they going to be able to follow my instructions? So I love that God's not even like trying to hide it. He's saying, I'm going to test you. Are you going to pass the test? And I love this moment where, because it translates to us today, is like God often gives us just what we need for the day. I'm going to tell you a little story. So in this moment of journaling that I was doing, often what I'll do is I'll bring up the Bible app and I'll write out the verse of the day. Just write it out, you know. And God revealed this moment, a verse I'm going to use later in this message. Because I couldn't figure out, like, how am I going to end this message? How am I going to close it and bring it all together? And so in this moment of journaling, God gave me exactly what I needed in the moment. It was one verse that I'm going to use later. But oftentimes when we're in those seasons of wilderness, those seasons of separation from God, oftentimes it's the smallest thing, a call from a friend, a text, whatever it is that kind of pulls us back in and we say, oh yes, that was just what I needed today. And so God is starting to prepare his people for what is to come. And so the provision that he is providing for them is helping them to deepen their understanding of God and their dependence on him. Because it would be easy just to give them everything they needed all at once. And then they just have everything ready to go. But what God is doing is saying, I'm giving you just enough for today so that you will trust me, so that you will depend on me. And guess what? Tomorrow, you're going to come back. And so he's getting the cycle of obedience. Will you trust me in the midst of the wilderness season, when fear starts to creep into your life, when uncertainty creeps into your life? Are you willing to say, I'm not going back to where I was, but Lord, I'm going to trust you because you will provide? That's what the story of manna is all about. But I got to tell you, it gets even bigger. Because when they saw the manna, the translation of manna is, what is it? They didn't know what it was. What is this? And so Jesus, right? Jesus comes along and he's like, I'm going to tell you what it is. Don't you just love Jesus when he does that? He makes it very clear for us. Like, he couldn't be any clearer. John 6:48 says this, yes, I am the bread of life. Like, Jesus is very clear. Like, you don't know what the manna is? It's me. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Like, could he be any more obvious in this section? Our next point is this: manna sustains them, Jesus fills us. Manna sustains them, Jesus fills us. Jesus was giving us something more than something for our hunger. Manna in the wilderness was sustaining them daily to provide a dependence on God, to keep them alive. I mean, it was raining down food from heaven, but Jesus changes the whole meaning of what manna is, because the living bread came down from heaven to not only give us life, but give us everlasting life. That's what the bread of life does. And so it's always interesting when you have these contrasting stories in the Bible where it meant something over here, but then Jesus comes and fulfills the whole thing and changes the whole thing. We talked about Passover and how he came and changed the entire Passover. He came to die on the cross. He knew that was going to happen. And he said, I'm going to do it during Passover so I can completely change the meaning of it. He's sitting with a group of Jewish people having a conversation, a dialogue, and he goes, you know what? They know exactly what manna is. Let me drop some knowledge on them. I'm the bread of life. And they would have immediately been like, oh, what? Blasphemy to say you are God. That's what he's saying in this statement, is that to the Jewish audience, I am him, the one who comes to give life. And I love that during those seasons of wilderness, you know, because no wilderness season is ever wasted. Like, God is constantly working on us during those seasons. And so those seasons of pain, those seasons of struggle, those seasons of feeling like you're disconnected from God, like, do you have those moments where you're like, God, what are you trying to show me right now? Like, what are you trying to teach me? And so are you having those points of reflection during and after those wilderness seasons? Because I got to tell you some truth here, and I don't know if it'll hurt your feelings or not, but I'm just going to say it. You're going to go through a wilderness season at some point. Some of you might even be in a wilderness season right now. Some of you might be just coming out of the wilderness season. That's the story of Exodus. The road out, the road through, and the road in. Those are all different seasons of our lives. And when the Israelites were on their journey, God never left them. He never forgot about them. Now, they might have thought that he forgot about them, but he never did. God was working daily with them. But he was pointing to something bigger. He was pointing to Jesus to say that, yes, I might rain down bread now to sustain you, but there's someone coming who's greater, who will nourish you and fulfill you for eternity. That's who Jesus is. When he's on the side of a mountain and giving his greatest sermon that we've ever heard, way better than any sermon I'll ever give. So, you know, thank you. I'm willing to admit that. But during that sermon, he talks about, how do you pray? What's one of the lines in there? Give us today our daily bread. Again, a Jewish audience. They would have knew exactly what he was talking about. This theme of Exodus and the Israelites is all throughout Scripture, all the way through. Because we're all going to have wilderness seasons in our life. And God knew that. And he says, I want to walk with you. I want to bring you out of whatever bondage you're in, whatever slavery you're in. I want to bring you out. I want to take you through, and I want to get you to the promised land. And the only way that we do that is through the living bread, which is Jesus Christ. Our last question is this. Have you settled for provision and missed the provider? Manna taught them obedience. It taught them this pattern of God giving provision. And I wonder, like, in those seasons of testing, how often do we look for, like, God, what are you going to give me? How are you going to, what are you giving me today to get me through? And so often we look for the provision instead of looking to the provider. It's always, what can you give me, God? When we pray as a family, my daughter, like, she has this one line. She says it every time we pray, and it is fantastic. And she says, this is how she starts her prayer every time. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. That's how she starts her prayer. Three-year-old. First time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's good. Why don't I start my prayers like that? How often we start our prayers like, God, thank you for this. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you help me with this? Instead of looking at the creator of the universe and saying, thank you for being the bread of life. You nourish me, you fulfill me daily, and you give me everything I need. Like, why don't we start at a place like that? Well, we're human, right? Like, we have needs and we have wants and we're broken and we have a sinful nature. Like, all these things are playing against us. But we have very real needs in real time. Like, the Israelites had needs, right? Like, they were in the desert. It was hot. They were hungry. They needed water. They needed food. Those are very real needs. When we're in those wilderness seasons in our life, we have very real needs. God, I need comfort. I need strength. How am I going to get through this day, Lord? Like, that's a very real need. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay for my mortgage this month. What am I going to do? Like, that's a very real need. And I'm not saying not to pray for those, and I'm not saying don't give those to God, because you should. You should tell him exactly how you feel, exactly what's going on. Tell him about your pain. Tell him about your struggle. But don't forget that he is God. That's the part that we often miss, is like, we have all these wants and needs from him, but he's God. Why are we not coming to the feet of the cross and just saying, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me is great. We often forget the provider. Listen, God needs nothing from us. Absolutely nothing. No matter how hard we work and strive, God needs none of it. Yet he still wants you. What? Why? That doesn't shock you? It shocks me. Like God still wants us and needs nothing from us. If you need to know what a definition of love is, it's right there. That's what love looks like. God wants nothing from us except to remember that his son went to the cross and died for us. That he is the bread of life. Would you stand with me? Church, I hope that we remember that as the Israelites... Yeah, worship team, come forward. I thought that was the cue we worked on. No? All right. I know, but there's some mothers on that worship team too, okay? I figured they'd get you all together. Well, we got one. Yes, his mother. So many things there. I'm just going to have to move on. The Israelites were on this very specific journey. And God wanted to test them. Like he didn't hide it. He said, I'm going to test you. Church, oftentimes when we're in those wilderness seasons, God is giving us a test. What are we learning from our wilderness season? And I pray that as a community, we're learning to depend on him daily for the provision that we need, but not forgetting who the provider is. We could never provide like that. Our mothers could never provide like that. They are fantastic. They are wonderful. They are true gifts of God, but they are not God. Let us never forget who the provider is. We give him honor. We give him glory. That's when the provisions come in. That's when he begins to walk with us through this season of testing. The Israelites forgot who the provider was. Give me, starving, what are you doing? By the Lord, church, I hope we never forget that the Lord is the one who walks with us through those difficult seasons. And nothing else will get us out of it but him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. I mean, we love that you give us exactly what we need for the day. The provisions that you give us, the guidance that you give us, the strength that you give us, those are all important things. But Lord, I pray that we don't forget today about you, the provider. That you were willing to send Jesus to earth to take on flesh and bone like us, to die on the cross for us, to do something that we could never do. The living bread raining down from heaven to give us eternal life, to fill us. So today we thank you as the provider, Lord. And we remember all that you've done for us, how you've brought us out, how you've brought us through, and how you're going to bring us in. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen. This was the verse I was going to share with you. Isaiah 43, verse 19. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Whatever wilderness you are in right now, the rivers of life are coming. Because God sees you and knows you. And guess what? He loves you. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.